think it's relevant to last week's parasha, and it's relevant to Maseches Brachos as well, and Daf Mem Gimel. That is the topic of the prohibitions of Halbanas Pnei Chaver Barabin, of embarrassing people in public. And on this, there is a famous discussion the Gemara has in Maseches Brachos, as well as in Maseches Bava Metzia and Daf Mem Tes. And the Gemara tells us that David HaMelech had a hard time. He had a hard time because he had a scandal in his past, the whole story that had happened, and he was trying to put it past him, just trying to go right there, and it wasn't really working, that he'd be giving shiurim, and he'd be talking about something completely unrelated to anything about Znus or anything like that. He'd be talking about Negoim or Olos and whatever it is. And in the middle, somebody would raise his hand from the back and say, yeah, King, quick question. National Enquirer, tell me, what's the punishment you get for being involved with a possibly married woman? So it's very important for my understanding of the Negoim and Olos that you discuss the topic right now. So the king caught on to what was going on, so he says, well, that's a good question, actually. I think someone who would do that could be executed, mitasa b'chenek, but he has a chelek in Olam Haba. But somebody who embarrassed somebody in public... no portion in the world to come. So the point seemed to be, the Gemara understood, that it's preferable for a person to get involved with a possibly married woman than it is to embarrass someone in public. Apparently that's a worse avera than getting involved with a married woman or a possible suffocation situation. So that you don't find in Sefer Halacha so much. It's not so shocking. It's not the kind of hechitim that you really find in everyday life. But you don't really find that brought the halacha. But what you do find, possibly, is the next part of the Gemara. The next part of the Gemara refers to something in last week's parasha, and that was the incident with Yehuda and Tamar. And in the incident with Yehuda and Tamar, so Tamar apparently was willing to let herself get killed rather than embarrass Yehuda. Yehuda was the father of Tamar's children, and he didn't realize that, and he thought that she was pregnant from somebody else and that she deserved to be executed for that, so she was on trial for this. And she did not identify Yehuda as the father. Even though that would have saved her life, she was willing to let herself get executed rather than directly identify him. She brought it about that he would come forward, but she wasn't willing to identify him herself because that would have embarrassed him. And she said, "Noyachlo," and the Gemara says that apparently her philosophy was, Noyachlo li'adam, it's preferable for a person, she'yapil atzma l'kivshan shalesh, that he should let himself get thrown into a fiery furnace, v'al yalbim p'nei chaver b'radim, and he shouldn't come to embarrass someone else in public. So that whole story is a little bit difficult. It's very hard to understand that in the case of somebody's on trial for their life, they're not allowed to defend themselves, if that's going to embarrass somebody else. Very hard to understand, even if you want to say that this halach is really true, that you have to let yourself get killed rather than embarrass someone. That in itself is very striking, but to say when you're on trial, you can't say it wasn't me, you can't say it was his fault, you're not allowed to get out of it that way, that's very difficult, and that's something the Mefarshim have a hard time about. This beautiful Nesefer that just came out, Minchas Osher and Sefer Bereishis. So in last week's parasha, he talks about this, and he suggests that really Tamar knew she wasn't really going to get killed. She knew that she could rely on the schus of Yehuda and the schus of everything else that was going on, that things were going to work out. So she wasn't really so at risk. So then you could ask, though, so what exactly is the chiddush l'halacha then? If she knew she wasn't going to die, so what really can we learn from that story? So that's relevant to this point. The question is, do we really learn anything from the story? Is the Gemara really meant to be taken halach l'maisa? And it happens to be that the Minchas Asher over here of Weiss felt that that was not the case anyway, that the Gemara did not mean it literally. But that is a big debate in Rishonim, which he discusses and many other Sfarim discuss as well, that it is a big question in Rishonim, how literally do you take this idea? Do we really say, is the Gemara really telling us that it's really preferable to let yourself get killed rather than embarrass someone in public? Does the Gemara really mean that? Very difficult to imagine. So it's a big discussion. So there are a couple of opinions on both sides. On the one hand, there are a number of Rishonim, or at least one, most explicitly the Meiri, who took this Gemara to be an exaggeration. It's just a way of saying that it's really, really bad to embarrass somebody in public. It's not a good idea at all. And it's like killing somebody. You know, it's almost as if it's better to be killed rather than to do it. But to really say that it's really a harig v'al yavur, the Gemara doesn't really mean that. That's what the Meiri writes. And the Rambam may feel this way also, the way a lot of Achronim understood, because the Rambam doesn't bring anywhere in his Mishnah Torah any such halacha that you're required to sacrifice your life rather than embarrass someone in public. It's a little bit of a debate to what the Rambam really feels. There were some Achronim who thought the Rambam did think this Gemara was literal. But for the most part, it's assumed the Rambam left it out on purpose. And the Meiri explicitly says this. The Meiri explicitly says that that this whole idea is really an exaggeration. On the other hand, there were Rishon who did take it literally. And most explicitly on this front was the Shari Tshuva. Rabbi Yonah writes in the Shari Tshuva, I think it's in Shai Gimel and Ayis Kuflam Tet, that it really is a Harival Yavar, that you're required to give up your life rather than to embarrass someone in public. And it sounds like the way, according to most Achronim understand, it sounds like this is the opinion of Tosfos as well. Tosfos in Masechet Sotah, Daf Yud. This is the way the Brisker Rav understands, and most Achronim, it really sounds like what Tosfos is saying, that Tosfos asked Akasha there, that we know the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that there are three Averis that are Harig Val Yavar, three Averis that you have to give up your life for rather than to violate. Gili Arayis and Avodah Zarah and Shvichas Damim. So where does embarrassing someone fit in? How does that? That's not one of the three items on the list. So Tosfos' answer, which is not necessarily the first answer you would have thought, Tosfos' answer is because it's not the Farish and the Pasuk. What Tosfos gives an answer, but the point that's interesting from the Tosfos is really the question that apparently Tosfos seems to take it lahalacha that it really is Yehariv Yavla, and it's only a question why the Gemara didn't include it in the list. Because Tosfos does not give the answer, that's really what's the interesting point. The answer he doesn't give, that he doesn't say, well, it's not part of the list because it's all an exaggeration anyway. So it seems like there are some Rishonim who did take this idea literally, that you're really obligated to give up your life rather than embarrass someone in public. And this is a machlokas that actually continues even into the Achronim as well. Bavaji Yosef has a truth about this, which is not so clear. It's hard to figure out what exactly his maskana is. The Binyan Siyan, his Chuvas, Kufayin Zayin, I believe, he did seem to take a machmerdik stance on that. So you really have even Achronim who really took this Gemara literally. But on the other hand, probably majority of Achronim didn't really believe that this is really the case. And the bottom line is probably don't try this at home. But I think that's really hard to assume this is true l'maisa. But what exactly is going on here? What exactly is Nekudas HaMachlokas? It seems clear that the issue that they're probably fighting over is the following. The Gemara does identify embarrassing someone with Shfichas Damim. The Gemara says the type of death. On the one hand, it's kind of overly literal. The Gemara says Shfichas Damim because the blood drains from the face. So your blood is spilt when you're embarrassed. So it's Shfichas Damim. But clearly the Gemara means more than that. The Gemara means to say that the pain of humiliation is so great that it is worse than death. That it is something that people would want to avoid, even they would prefer death to. And the fact is, we do see that in life. You do see that. It's not true about everyone. But there are certainly people who have killed themselves, who have committed suicide, rather than undergo humiliation. It definitely happens. There definitely are some people in the world for whom the pain of humiliation seems to be lamaisa worse than death. So it's a question, how literally do you take this idea? The Gemara says that it's like Shvichas Damim, so do you really believe that's literally true? That's really exactly what's going on? That it's really like death for all intents and purposes? Or is the Gemara just kind of trying to send a message, trying to tell you that it's really a bad thing, but to go so far as to really take this totally literally, that's very hard to say. So this is a probably what is underlying this question among the question of Rishonim, because one major nafka mina that would emerge is this question of Yehariv Val Yavor. So is it really Yehariv Val Yavor to embarrass someone? If you're going to tell me that it's really equal to murder, so then one would have to assume that the principle of Yehariv Val Yavor would transfer as well. That the Gemara in Sanhedrin says you're not allowed to kill someone to save your life. Because who says that his blood is not as red? Whose blood, your blood is redder than his? Who says that it's legitimate to kill someone just because you want to save your own life? So if you're going to say that embarrassing someone's really mamish equal, so then one would have to draw the conclusion, like Rabbeinu Yonah does, maybe like Tosfos does, that so too, it's even to save your own life, you can't do that to somebody else. But all these other Rishonim, and perhaps the dominant view in the Achronim, that you're not allowed to do this to save your life, then one would come to the conclusion that we're not really talking about actual murder. Right? The comparison to murder has a certain value, but not really to take it so far and to tell you that it's really identical. Right?
Yeah, but what exactly is the formulation of Gemara when it says Shiyapu Atzmo
Sof? Well, it's an interesting. Sorry? He's saying it's different already than normally a Hergul Yavin. It's a different type of context. Yeah, the whole formulation is interesting. Also, the whole idea of Noachlo, what does that mean? It's preferable. It's a different kind of language. And so there is an essay on that topic of what exactly the language is. It's written by Rav Pinchas Levinson. It was appeared in, I think, HaMa'or or HaPadis, one of these journals. So he suggests that he truly thinks the pshat is that it could be that maybe in theory the pain of humiliation could really end up to be worse than death. The problem is you can never put this idea into practice, this idea of Yehar V'Yavar, because you can never know in advance that's really the way it's going to play out. It's so unpredictable, the whole idea, that we can't really know that that's really what's going on. You can't know in advance that this situation is going to lead to somebody being humiliated in a way, especially because everyone's different and every humiliation is different, so there's different levels. That even if there are people who would kill themselves to avoid humiliation, they wouldn't kill themselves to avoid any humiliation. It depends what we're talking about. So since everything's a matter of degree and it's so subjective, so you're never going to know in advance. So for that reason alone, you can't try this at home. Even in theory, even if you're going to go so far as to say that it really is literal, that really is what the Gemara means, still in practice, it's very hard to say that it's a feasible concept. But the Maisi, you do find a lot of other discussions that seem to consider this point of just how far do we go with this idea. There is along similar lines a very interesting opinion of the Chachma Shlomo. The Chachma Shlomo, in his commentary to Shulchan Aruch, in the very end of Choshen Mishpat, in Siman Tav Chav Vav, so he has an idea there which is very, very, very controversial. Almost everyone else thought it was way off the charts as far as possibility, but it seems to relate to this idea as well, that the Chachma Shlomo says, let's say you're walking past the river and you see somebody drowning, and you're a lifeguard and you know how to save somebody pretty well, so you're obligated to save his life, right? That's a pasuk in Chumash, Leisamen Al Dam Riechi, you're not allowed to stand by when somebody else drowns, so you're obligated to save his life. But let's say you're going to jump in the river and you're going to drown, and maybe you'll be able to save him, maybe you're not, but the fact is you're going to end up dying. So you're not a chuyiv to give up your own life to save somebody else's life. So the Chachma Shlomo says, let's say, although he really comes from a different angle, I'll explain in a second, but he says, let's say you're walking past somebody's life is at risk, and the only way you could save them is to be mevazi yourself, is to humiliate yourself. So then the Chachma Shlomo writes, you're not a chuyiv to do it. Now, the truth is, I should point out for the sake of accuracy that he comes to this conclusion from a different angle. He comes from the angle of Kavod HaBriyos. It's a little bit of a different, he's got a little bit of a different source for it. But the idea does seem to be a reflection of this notion that if you really go so far as to say that humiliation is really equal to death, so then maybe you can make this conclusion as well. The same way I'm not mechuyev to sacrifice my life to save someone else's life, so I'm also not mechuyev to be mevaz myself to save someone else's life. This was a very controversial idea, and everyone who spoke about this thought it was incorrect. Yehuda did do that.
Yes.
It's the raya that you have to do it. Okay, that's a good point. Although that can go back into our original issue, like why? Because you could say to that, well, maybe that's not a good raya because maybe when it's al pidin that he's the one who's getting her in trouble, so who's mechuyev in the context of din to do it? But that still goes back to our original kasha of why was there a havmina that Tamar couldn't do it? In the same way we sort of thought that it should be pasha, Tamar was allowed to do it. So you could maybe say for that same reason that Yehuda would have been mechuyev to do it, while if it was Tam that she was drowning, he wouldn't have been mechuyev maybe. Hi.
Maybe there's a difference between embarrassing someone else and embarrassing yourself.
Oh, so that's something that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach brings up. So I'll mention that in a second, that all the Achronim who discussed the idea thought it was incorrect. The discussion in the Kli Chemda, I think Diane Grossness had a discussion about it in his Tshuva Slev Aryeh, discussion in many Sarim. And the Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has a Tshuva in which he mentions this also, and he thought for sure it was incorrect. And one reason that he throws in, he quotes from a Gemara in Tainis actually, like Gary said, that even if you want to say the whole logic here is true, that the type of humiliation you bring upon yourself is almost by definition less than the type of humiliation somebody else can bring upon you. So even if you're going to say that somebody else humiliating you is a type of murder, still it doesn't mean that for you to choose to do something that's going to embarrass yourself is going to be on that level. So he doesn't think the Chachma Shlomo is correct. But that doesn't necessarily mean that he rejects this whole idea of making an equation between death and humiliation, because he himself has discussion there. This is in the Tshuvas, I think it's in Zion, the Tshuvas Mechut Shlomo, and it was printed in a couple of journals before that. So he discusses the question of why would we not go further and say that if humiliation is really like death, so we should allow someone to be Mechal Shabbos in order to prevent somebody from being humiliated. We allow Chilul Shabbos in order to save someone's life. So if humiliation is like death, so we should allow Chilul Shabbos in order to prevent somebody from humiliation. So he doesn't say that you should do that. There is one sefer, Shalos and Shuvah Shem Mishimon, in which I think he does come to that conclusion, actually, but Rav Shlomo Zalman does not come to that conclusion. But he doesn't know why not. Val Pisvari thinks it makes sense. He knows it's not the minig, but he doesn't know why not. And he actually says that as far as Dinam Drabbanan, so once again, the halacha of Kavod Abrius may taka come in and allow you to spend Dinam Drabbanan. But Dinam Daraisa, to Mechal Shabbos and level Minat Torah, so he wasn't ready to allow. He knows it's not the minig, but why exactly? Unclear. Al Pisvari, it seems to make sense, and maybe we should say that the same way you would Michal Shabbos save someone's life, you should do it to prevent somebody from being humiliated as well. The point that Rav Pinchas Levinson had made, that we quoted a few minutes ago, could work for this also. That it could be that his answer answers this approach as well. That really, min hasvara, it's true. That in a purely theoretical realm, maybe you should be Michal Shabbos in order to prevent somebody from being humiliated. But again, you can't ever really know that. You can't ever really know in advance the type of situation, how exactly it's going to play out, to say that there you have enough of a basis to work off of to Mechal Shabbos for it. If you can really know in advance that you're really going to save somebody from a type of humiliation that's equal to death, maybe you'd have what to talk about. But in practice, this is an idea which could very easily be abused. You know, you never know how things are going to play out, so to actually put this into play, that's a lot harder to say. You find a couple of other issues which seem to be related to this. For example, Rav Nosson Gishtetner Shlita has a discussion in his Tshuvas in Chelik Ches and Siman Gimel of the Lahiris Nosson of the din the Gemara has also in Maseches Brachos, that the Gemara has a din that a person, you have a Kohen who has killed someone, Kohen Shehareg Es HaNefesh, so it's inappropriate for such a Kohen. This Kohen is not allowed to be involved in Birkas Kohen. It's a big shaila in Poskim, is not for now, whether this only applies to somebody who murdered somebody intentionally, or what if somebody killed somebody accidentally, or somebody killed somebody justifiably, if somebody was killed somebody in self-defense during the war, or not necessarily like that, but let's say in a car accident or something like that. So all the different gradations, so it's a big shaila in Poskim. It's not for now, but at least if somebody intentionally murdered somebody, so that the Gemara says, "Kohen Shehareges Nefesh Lo Yisa Es Kapos." And the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Sefer Yeshaya, "My hands are filled with blood." So these are hands that are filled with blood, hands that have blood on them. So the Nisias Kapayim is based on hands. Duchening is based on spreading out of the hands. So such bloody hands are inappropriate for duchening. So what if somebody walks around being mevazeh people all the time? If somebody embarrasses people, so if that's like murder, maybe we should say that such a person is also not qualified to be involved in the Birkas Kohen. So Rav Gishtetner discusses this question, and he comes out of Maitza to allow such a person to dochem. First of all, because he doesn't totally buy the whole equation. He doesn't really believe that they're absolutely equal, the whole murder-death thing, the whole murder-humiliation thing. And also, he says, even if you want to tell me that it really is literal, so still, the whole idea, the Gemara says that the soul comes from bloody hands, we're specifically talking about physical death. So even if you had another crime which was really equal, but it's not physically created death, so it's hard to say that that would really fall into the same category as this din.
What about humiliating someone?
I mean, would that be bloody hands? I think this is the whole idea is metaphorical. When you kill somebody, you know, blood in your hands means when you really killed somebody, even if you killed them with your foot or some other part of your body. And so too, humiliation is by definition emotional, even if you happen to, I think, you would probably say like that. If you ask a different kasha, that as much as hands are involved in Birkas Kohen, and the mouth is also involved in Birkas Kohen, which is to say that if the hands that killed somebody are no good, so the mouth that killed somebody should be no good also. As we've discussed in recent weeks, with the din of Amira, it's makif. You should make kohen, you got to use your mouth, according to most achron. So why don't we say that that's also a psalm case, so that's apparently that's not what the Gemara says. But this is another example of how you might take this whole equation thing. Another idea also is the question of whether or not mechila would work, although it's a little bit of a tricky tichitim sulamaita to figure out exactly what we're talking about. But Rav Lau has a tshuva about this. The tshuva rabbi Rav Lau in the tshuvas Yachal Yisrael discussion: do we allow a person to be mochel and somebody else being mevazim? By the way, parenthetically, the Nesiv writes this, by the way, by Kibbutz Avim, that even though the Gemara says that Avsh Mochel Kvodo Kvodo Mochel, that a father has the right to say he's mochel and is covered, but the parent is not allowed to mochel on their bizonion. If a kid wants to do something which is really disgraceful to the parents, not just that he wants to sit in their seats or he wants to not bring in his coffee, he wants to do something that's really disgraceful, so that the Nesiv writes the parent doesn't have a right to allow. So what about in general? What about for the average person? If somebody wants to be mevaziyu, so are you allowed to be mochel? So Rav Lau just discusses that without necessarily being told on this issue, but one could be told on this issue that if we're really going to say it's like murder, so you're not allowed to say somebody has the right to murder you. You don't have that right. But if it's done in a ben adam l'chaver, that's not really on that level, so Pashas Mechila should apply. So all of this leads into a different question, which seems to relate to this. That's a little bit more theoretical question, but it ties into this. But we know that David HaMelech's response, we mentioned a few minutes ago, so he said that Habanas Panim is worse because there is no Chelek in Olam Haba. There's no portion in the world to come. And this is a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos as well. And it's a well-known idea. And the Mefarshim discuss what exactly is the source of this idea. Why should that be true? How do you know this idea that somebody who embarrasses somebody else has no Chelek Olam Haba? So there's a number of theories. So just first to mention two that work out l'shitasim. The Rambam and Rabbeinu Yonah both have theories on this, and it works out l'shitasim that we mentioned earlier. Because Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rambam we mentioned earlier also argue on this din of Yehari V'Yavur, that it's generally taken to be understood the Rambam does not feel that the Habanas Panim is Yehari V'Yavur, and Rabbeinu Yonah says explicitly that it is. So then, if what we've been saying is true, then it seems the issue is Rabbeinu Yonah believes it really is Mamish murder, and the Rambam thinks it really isn't. So this is relevant to the next question. So the question of why is there no portion of the world to come? So the Rambam and Rabbeinu Yonah have two of the theories, and the theories work out as she tossed them. That Rabbeinu Yonah, as he said, holds his Mamish murder, so that's what he says to explain this also. The reason you have no portion of the world to come is because you have the punishment of a murderer. Aye, but you'll say it's worse, because the Gemara doesn't say that a murderer has no chelek olam haba. So why does this guy have no chelek olam haba? So that Rabbeinu Yonah explains that really it's because it's worse than murder. Because a guy who kills somebody, so he should also get no chelek olam haba. But l'maisa, what will probably happen is he's going to do tshuva, because it's going to be such a scandal, it's going to be a huge deal, and everyone's going to know that what he did was terrible. He's going to realize he committed a horrible, horrible crime, and he's going to regret it eventually, and eventually he'll do tshuva. So chances are, by the time he gets up to Shemayim, he'll have done tshuva, and he will have a chelok lom haba. But when it comes to embarrassing someone in public, that's just as bad, says Rabbeinu Yonah. But it's worse because no one's going to realize that it's just as bad. He's going to think he did nothing. He's going to keep on doing it again and again. And therefore, he's going to be left with the original punishment of the murderer, which is no chelek in olam haba. And that's how he explains. That's how he explains how it works. So the implication of that, by the way, is as many Meforshim and Maseches Bava Metzia point out, Moshe Feinstein and the Dibros Moshe point out, others point out that when the Gemara said over there that Malbim Panim has no Chelak Mahava, it doesn't mean that it's different than every other Aveira, like there's no Tshuva. That if there was Tshuva, so then you clearly could get it back. Tshuva, especially on the Chaver, so the Mechila, the whole process is done, then you could get it back. But the assumption is that without Tshuva, it's not going to happen. And that's what Rabbeinu Yonah is explaining, that the part of the whole problem is that there's less likely to be tshuva because people don't perceive it to be the type of crime it is, which is, in his opinion, is equal to murder. Now the Rambam is also l'shitaso, because the Rambam in the Perush HaMishnayis, the last parak of Sanhedrin, to Chelek, where the Mishnah there says certain people have no Chelek Mahaba. So he expands on that, and he explains the Malbim Panim also. He explains it together with a lot of other things, that the idea is that it's not really pshat that this is the Aveira that gets that onus. Not that if you embarrass somebody once, that's it, no olam haba. But rather, if you have a person who repeatedly does this all the time, this puts him in the halachic category of a jerk. And a jerk, chances are, we can assume he has no chelek haba for other reasons. We can assume that this is not a person who's really been racking up his chuyus. A person who does this all the time, we can say with some level of confidence, is probably not a ben olam haba. But it doesn't necessarily mean to say that one maisa of habanas panim automatically earns you that punishment. And it's again, it's l'shitaso. The same Rambam who says it's nayi har v'yavro, who doesn't believe that it's really like an act of murder, so too he's not going to go so far with this either. Right. That's basically how it works. It's not a sibah, it's a simon. That it doesn't mean that you get that aver gives you that onesh, but you can confidently say that that's probably the type of person that we're dealing with.
In the story of David Melch, David Melch said back then, there was someone that someone embarrassed him in public. Didn't he embarrass him also?
Yeah, so Pasha is an act of self-defense.
Murder for murder.
Right. Exactly. He's a righteous. But, so those are two of the theories. A couple of other theories. The Pnei Yeshua mentioned something that's a little shver, that, and this later Chuvis discussed, I don't really understand what he's talking about. Chuvis Avinu Kara talks about just that. Pnei Yeshua writes that we have an idea that, it's also a question what the makkah for this is, but we have an idea that a ma'abir atmo das, a person who commits suicide, has no chelik olam haba. And here the Gemara says, better for you to commit suicide, better you should atmo l'kitchen shalesh, rather than embarrass someone. So it must be that embarrassing someone is worse than committing suicide. So if committing suicide, you have no chom haba. So all the more so, embarrassing people, it's for sure true. That's a little bit shver, because it's hard to say that that person who's sacrificing himself not to embarrass someone, so that's like suicide to have no chom haba. And the halacha requires it, if that's the case, if the halacha is requiring it. So in such a case, there's no olam haba.
In that case, it wouldn't have.
To say it's relevant at all, the whole punishment for a suicide is relevant at all, and it's very hard to understand why that should be the case. As Avinu Kara points out, as others point out, that's difficult. But there is another idea that Pnei Yeshua quotes, which a lot of other Sfarim quote as well, and that is as follows. That really the reason there's no chelek is because it is mida keneged mida. Why is it mida keneged mida? Because what is the source for Olam Haba, what's the source for Neshama, what's the source for a person's eternal soul? So that is the fact that he was created B'Tzelem, is created B'Tzelem Elokim, a person is created in the image of God. So therefore, that image of God, that Neshama, so that continues on after death, and that's where eternal reward makes sense. So too, B'Tzelem Elokim is also the source for Kavod HaBriyah, it's also a source for human dignity. And that's also, therefore, the point that mandates that one should not humiliate someone else. So somebody who does embarrass other people is basically saying he doesn't really hold from the Tzelem Elokim, he doesn't believe in the Tzelem Elokim. So it makes sense, midah keneged midah, that he should not have a chelek in olam haba, he should not benefit from the Tzelem Elokim. That's a little bit off the Aruch HaDrash, but that's a lot of Sfarim have this idea, and that's an interesting one. So that might be relevant to some other points. Before we get to that, though, so two other issues that these Sfarim bring up both relate to the same point. We've been saying Hamal b'nei chaver b'rabim, somebody who embarrasses somebody in public. So that usage of the word rabim, public, so is that just a shigra delishna? Is that just the way we're talking? Or does that really have some significance for the issues? So there's two questions. First of all, do I really need a public? Is public really important? And also, what's the definition of public? Do we need a minion? Or what do we mean by public? So poskim seem to agree that you don't need a minion. They really need three people, because that's what the Gemara says in Erechim in the context of Lashon Hara, that for Lashon Hara it's enough to have three people, that Chavre, Chavre, Islay, V'Chavre, D'Chavre, Chavre, Islay, V'Chavre, D'Chavre, 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 Islay, right, your friend has a friend who has a friend who has a cousin who has an uncle who has a barber who has a butcher who has a cousin who knows somebody who told somebody else. So basically when three people know something, so the whole world knows. So therefore three people is already considered to be Mefursim. But the post can point out three people means the embarrassor, the embarrassee, and one other guy. So basically, it really means one person. If anybody else is present, so that's considered to be in public. Okay, so that's the definition of public. But is that really necessary? Doesn't
the embarrassee is not present after 10?
Even if the embarrassee is not present, pashtus. Maybe, yeah, because his basic point is that it means one extra guy. Yeah, it's an interesting point, but I think you might
know.
Or they could find that afterwards. Well, he was, because he's embarrassed to Lumafrey about the fact that the other guy knows about it.
But he has to know that one other person.
Yeah. Right. So, in any case...
That he's part of the dream.
Right. Well, so they all join together later. So, in any case, so that's a big shaila in poskim, whether or not you really need the public, or Ashi and Erechim sounds one way, that's something the Prima Gadim talks about, the Baal HaTanya talks about, and then Shulchan Aruch HaRav. It's a big question whether or not you need the public. And a lot of Achronim, a couple of Achronim, the Tshuva Shevet HaKahasi has a Tshuva like this, and a couple of other Achronim suggest an interesting split. That if you embarrass someone in private, that's awesome. Not allowed to do that. If you embarrass somebody in public, then it's like murder, maybe it's a Harvo Yavor, no Chelek Lom Haba, etc., etc., etc. So what exactly is that whole distinction based on? So one might suggest that maybe the Vard is that we have to figure out what exactly is the Isser of Halbonus Pnech Veberat. We mentioned this whole time prohibition, so where did the Sein Torah? You're not allowed to do it. So that's what Tashbess points out, and others point out there really are two separate sources, two separate dinim that you violate or you could violate when you embarrass someone in public, or embarrass somebody at all. That there is a pasuk on the one hand, the pasuk says, Loisonu Ishas Amiso, you're not allowed to afflict your friend. It's usually taken in the context of Mammon, or Nos Mammon, the topic of the fourth parak of Bamitzvah. Very much overcharging people. So Nos Mammon. And the Mishnah, the last Mishnah in that parak, which is the Mishnah that leads into what we started with, the whole story of David HaMelech. So there the Mishnah says, Kishem Shiyesh Ona B'Mammon, Kach Geish Ona B'Dvarim. Don't think that it's only possible to violate Ona through money. There's also a concept of Ona S'Dvarim. You can also hurt somebody verbally or emotionally, and any time you do that, that's also prohibited. So any type of non-physical, non-monetary pain, you cause somebody emotional pain, you cause somebody pain through your words, through your actions like that, but not physically, so that is also Ona, and that's prohibited. You know, the Gemara gives a lot of examples, not all involving embarrassment, a lot of different things you could do to hurt somebody's feelings. Rabbi Bleich had an article which he suggests that the common denominator between all the examples, you know, the Gemara says you're going to go into a store and you're going to ask somebody how much something costs and you have no intent of buying it at all. So it sounds like from the Gemara that's on Os Dvarim because the guy gets excited, he thinks he's going to make a sale, and then he's disappointed when he finds out you're not really interested at all. So Rabbi Bleich had a different approach. He thought that the common denominator between all the cases, that case and a bunch of other cases, is that on Os Dvarim means you kind of use people as an object. That, like, if you're going to go into a store, you're going to do business with somebody, so you ask how much it costs, and you have a equal relationship. You're looking to buy, he's looking to sell, you each could benefit each other. But you're just going to walk into a store, and you're going to ask somebody how much it costs, and you're not going to give him any room to have any benefit from it. You're basically just kind of using him as your unpaid consultant, but against his will. So that's sort of my blast. So it's a little bit of a different spin than other people have. But in any case, the whole idea of on the Svarim is that you hurt somebody at all, not physically, verbally, emotionally, so that's on the Svarim. So to embarrass somebody is going to be a violation of on the Svarim. There's also another prohibition that there's in the pasuk that talks about Tochacha. So the pasuk says, Halchech, Halchech, Asim Yisachah, you have an obligation to rebuke your friend who's going on the wrong path. V'loisisa Olav Chet, and you should not get in trouble because of him. You should not violate Neveira because of him. How exactly are you going to do that? How are you going to violate Neveira because you're rebuking your friend? So the Gemara says, in Mil Masachas Erechin, that Yachal Afilu Yishtan Es Panav, maybe you should keep rebuking him even if you're going to make his face turn color, if you're going to humiliate him. So the Gemara says, no, V'lo Yisis V'alav Chet, that you're not supposed to get yourself in trouble by doing this act of rebuke. So what do we see from there? So we see that apparently even in the context of giving somebody Musa, you're not allowed to embarrass them. So we can assume a Kal V'chomer that even if you're not, if you don't have that motivation, you're not in the context of trying to fulfill a mitzvah in Torah, you're not trying to help somebody out spiritually, so certainly there's a prohibition to embarrass somebody and to make his face change color. Hi? Yeah, would there be an Eseh D'Chalosef saying that? Interesting question. I have to figure out whether the parts would have worked or not, but could be. Shows the Zalosa Sechomer, in any case. I hear you. But see, it comes out you have really two separate prohibitions. You have a prohibition of Anos Dvarim, and you have a prohibition of Loisis Olav Chet. So really, these two prohibitions are addressed to two different angles. The Anos Dvarim is when you hurt somebody's feelings. You hurt somebody's feelings, so that's any way you do that, so that's Anos Dvarim. And Loisis Olav Chet, that refers to taking away the person's dignity, to making the person's status go down, Be'enei Harabim. So that's a pegiya on the Selam Elokim. That's the Loisis Olav Chet. So it could be, why do these poskim say that if you embarrass somebody in private, it's usur, but in public, it's much more usur. It's very, very usur. It has all these other details to it. So it could be that in private, you only violate a Nos Dvarim. So Nos Dvarim, that's pretty bad. But in public, it's much more than that. In public, it's a Nos Dvarim also. But it's also Loisis Olav Chet. And Loisis Olav Chet, that's what strikes at the Kavod HaBrius, at the Selam Elokim of the person. That's where you deny the person's basic dignity. And since the Pnei Yeshua and others explained, that's where all this chumra comes from, the fact that you're striking the Talmud Elokim. So it's when that component is there that you have all these other stringencies of Yehar V'Yavar maybe, and no los, no chelef lom haba, etc., etc., etc. Maybe that's the way you can explain how these two things work. That when it's just an osvarim, that's one thing. But when it's in public, it's an osvarim also. But there's, in addition to that, this element of taking away the Talmud Elokim, and that's really where all these chumras come from. But we'll just close off by mentioning that one should not come with the conclusion that an osvarim by itself is a davar kal. It's a pretty big deal. It's a very big deal. And in fact, the Mordechai even went so far as to say there's malchus for an osvarim, and the Achronim had a very hard time with, because it's a lav shein bo maisa. Some suggesting that Makas Mardis, it's a good discussion in the Knesset HaGadolah, but that's a difficult idea. But the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam both say that we're not going to necessarily say there's Malkus, but the Bezin does have the right to assess whatever fine it feels appropriate in order to keep people from doing this. It's a very serious idea, and the Rambam puts in the ominous words, Harbe Shluchim Yesh L'Makum L'Froh Me'Over Eretzono. Kodesh Baruch Hu knows how to take care of people who think they can get away with things. So you think that you can hurt somebody and there's no punishment, Akharish Baruch Hu knows how to deal with such people. So it doesn't sound like something you want to necessarily get involved with. Hi.
Why is there only, just clarification, why is there only a pedia in selling a location when it's in public?
Because that's when the person's face changes, because that's when the person's dignity is taken. A person's dignity is not necessarily affected when he's in private.
But
when
he's selling a location, selling a location is touched no matter what.
Not necessarily. Maybe the sense of dignity.
Why is it only defined by how other people react?
Because that's what dignity means. I mean, having a certain, I mean, by definition, dignity is different by things, klapei chutz and things, klapei pnim, things you do in private. Part of the whole definition of dignity is that certain things
that's
are, you know, certain things are private and certain things
well,
are.
Embarrassed.
Yeah, so the assumption is that there, that person is coming in with what he, like, let's say a person exposes certain information. So if he knows that information already, so the fact that he's saying it to the guy who knows it, it's not taking away any further from that person's dignity. But when he changes the way the person is perceived in the eyes of others, then that's a whole new level.
But I just didn't understand the last point. If it's totally in the person turning red,
mm-hmm.
right, and his act of viewing his own dignity when he turns red in front of others, then or whatever color he turns.
It's actually a discussion in the Mefarshim and Mishnah. It's why the Gemara says Halbanus Panim. The Gemara says whitening the face, and we know right. So we normally assume it's how it's your face turns red. The Mefarshim explained that the blood. All drain. First, the blood rises and turns red, and then it all drains and turns white. But some have a gears actually hadamas panim. That's a minority opinion that that should be.
But so if it's totally in how the person views his own dignity when he turns red to another, so then why does it matter if the person that he's doing it to already knows that information? The mind that he's still feeling a pegi and his dignity even to that person when he turns.
I think the assumption is that the ikar dignity comes from the way a person comports himself in public, and the fact that he's taken his ability to hold his head up high among the rabbin is now affected. That's a whole new level. All right, so just quickly, Chazit, we discussed the fact that Gemara says that embarrassing somebody is very serious. It's worse than a supplicatious ish, and it's worse than dying. So it's a big question in posting whether or not that's literal. Is it really Hagba Yavar, Smachulkis, the Neri and others versus the Shari Tshuva and others? And Benin Steen seems to side like that. And Muskan Rusi, I don't try this at home. And that seems to revolve around the question of how literal is this comparison? Is it really like death? And that affects a lot of other issues, such as saving somebody's life at the expense of embarrassing yourself, such as being Machal Shabbos to save somebody from being embarrassed, such as should a person who embarrasses people, should he be allowed to duchen? Should we be allowed to be Mochal on the sister? And the question of why is it there's no portion in Olam Haba for somebody who is Mavaza people. So Rabbeinu Yonah is saying that it's because it's exactly like murder, L'shitaso, and the Rambam saying it's not really like murder, it's just a simon that the person is probably not in Olam Haba if he does this all the time. And the Pnei Yeshua's theory is one of the little Shver theory that it's worse than suicide, therefore it must have a punishment worse than suicide. But the other theory that it's basically because of the Begam and Talmud Lakim, and Talmud Lakim both is the source of the Neshama and the source of dignity. And that might explain some other things. We discussed also the question of do you need public and what is public? We mentioned most publics say public is three, and it's a shalom we shouldn't whether you need public. And some achronim have the split that in private it's an ister, but in public that's where all the chumras are. And we explained there really are two prohibitions. There's one prohibition of onos dvarim and another prohibition of losis alav chet, and that maybe in private there's just onos dvarim, but in public there's losis alav chet, which is the real pagia against the talam alukim. And we mentioned that even onos dvarim does have its own onshin, and that's a pretty serious idea as well. Okay, we will stop there. God willing.